The Lord be with you.
And also
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the crowds, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord. Dear family, this is the fourth Sunday in a row that Jesus has been instructing us from John 6, bringing us to a fuller understanding of the Eucharist, the gift of himself to us. How central, how important it is to know, to love, to enter into the Eucharist. Literally, it is a matter of life and death. We need to understand this. We cannot conform ourselves with having biological life. You know, we move, right? So that's good enough. We were created by God for the fullness of life. Saint Irenaeus said, the glory of God is man fully alive. Now, Jesus begins by saying, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Now remember way back in the Old Testament, Moses, when he encountered the burning bush and God gave his own name. He says, I am. Because only God is on his own right. He is the one who is and who gives life to all of creation, to all of us. None of us can say that. We are not on our own. We absolutely depend on others. We were born, and we are under construction. Dogs and cats and all the animals are in being all they can be. A doggy is as doggy as he's going to be. Not so with us. We are becoming more and more alive as we open our hearts and surrender to the Lord and allow Jesus to come and reign in us. We grow in being, in participation of his life. Hasn't it happened to you if you're really seriously trying to be a good Christian? People give you a hard time and they say, well, how come if you're a Christian and you still do this and you do that and they're always on top of you? Well, I think a good answer is to say, I'm a Christian, but I'm still under construction, right? We are still learning, we're still growing, but at least the construction has begun. And we're taking seriously this grace by which God is building us up to be more and more sons and daughters capable of living his life. Notice all through this reading, Jesus is talking to us about life, inviting us to come into life. I think one of the sins that we have is that we think that we are all together. We have a hard time understanding that we can be more, that we can love more. We figure that this is something that we take for granted. The Lord says, amen, amen. When Jesus speaks this way, you know he's up to something very serious. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. We are really dead without the life of Christ. And the Lord wants us to come to the bread that has become his body, to the wine that has become his blood, so that we are nourished and filled with joy. Now notice those two signs that Jesus chose. Bread. He's been speaking to us all this week about bread. It signifies life because it gives us nourishment that we need physically to continue to live. And so it is with the Eucharist. Also, bread is the fruit of our hard work. And the Lord also chose bread for this reason. We offer to the Lord our daily chores, our duties and efforts. We bring it all to the Lord in the Eucharist. Now, wine has two important significance. One is the cup of suffering. Remember James and John? And Jesus said, are you willing to take this cup? Which means, are you willing to offer your life in suffering, in sacrifice, for love of me? So we come and we take the cup, the blood of the Lord, the wine become blood, as a sign, Lord, we are covenanted with you. We are one with you. You, the head, suffer for us. We are willing now to suffer for you for love. But wine has another significance, doesn't it? It's the cup of celebration, of joy. Notice that Jesus did the miracle with the bread to nourish the people. But he did the miracle of the wine in Cana to bring them joy so they could celebrate the banquet. So they can offer to one another this joy, this unity of the feast. And so it must be in the Eucharist. It should bring us into the great joy of being sons and daughters, of being brothers and sisters. And that is why it is so important when we celebrate the Mass that we know that Jesus wants us to be brothers and sisters and share the joy of the Lord together. Let us pray for that to happen. Let us expose ourselves to His love so that we can be instruments of that happening right here more and more. It has already begun. We already have a beautiful community, but still under construction. That is the way it is with the Eucharist. Jesus has come to bring us redemption, but we are still running the race. We're still not in heaven, right? We're still with a lot of troubles and difficulties, but we know that we are with Him. But wine, for many, becomes trouble. How many people suffer tremendously because of addiction? But the Lord does not take the sign of wine away. Rather, He gives us a new power, a new drunkenness. Can you believe that? We see that in the second reading. Do not get drunk on wine, in which lies debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and playing to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks always and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Remember what happened at Pentecost? It was in the morning, and people thought what? That the apostles were drunk, because they were full of joy and singing and praising all these things that St. Paul is saying now. They were so full of joy, and people cannot understand that. So we can say there's a new drunkenness. It's the joy in the Holy Spirit, but not in debauchery, not in lack of control, but rather the opposite. Now we are filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the antidote to the evils of the world. So we do not live as repressed people. You know, we say no to alcohol, we say no to this and no to that. We say no to say a big yes to God, bringing us to a new creation, to real joy. And then we discover that all the other old stuff was simply a lie of the devil. There's no joy in getting drunk. There is no joy in sin. It was all a lie. The true joy is when the Holy Spirit comes, when we have become one with Christ, being nourished by His body and blood, and become a family that knows how to give Him thanks and praise. Amen. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the crowds, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world."